Genesis 21:14, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Amen. Praise God. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word tonight. Come on. Let's bless him like he's deserving. There is a well. Look at your neighbor. And there is a well. Amen. There is a well. We see in Genesis 21 that God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and to Sarah. See, he promised to visit Sarah, if you remember, and give her a son. It took 25 years before God fulfilled that promise, but he was faithful. How many know that? Amen. Doesn't matter how long it takes, God will be faithful to his word. Amen. Hallelujah. The promise wasn't fulfilled. Now, I want you to understand something. The promise was not fulfilled because Abraham was perfect in his obedience. Amen. But it was fulfilled because God is faithful to his word. Amen. Abraham was not perfect in his obedience. Amen. But his faith in God made the difference. But the promise was fulfilled because God was faithful to his word. I'm thankful tonight that when all else fails, when everything else is proven false, amen, amen, when everything else is proven wrong, hallelujah, the word of God will not fail us tonight. Are you thankful for the word? If you are, come on, put your hands together right there and bless him for the word. Now here's what we have to understand about promises. Some promises are conditional, and they depend, amen, on something that we must do. Amen. So some promises that are given to us by God depend on something we must do, but others are unconditional. God will fulfill them not because of what we do, but because of who he is. Amen. He's faithful to his word. Amen. So some promises are conditional, meaning that, amen, you have to do something, do your part, amen, in order for them to come to pass. But others are not conditional, but they're unconditional, and God will fulfill them, and it's not because of what we do, but it's because of who he is. It's the same with prophetic words. Some prophecies are conditional, and they, amen, depend on something that we must do. The prophecies are unconditional. Amen. And so I just want us to understand that tonight. Hallelujah. That God is faithful because of who he is, not because of what we do. We can get our eyes and our mind focused on our works, and it's easy to do. Some folks that aren't there don't understand that, but there's a lot of people that struggle with that mindset. Amen. Of being able to achieve a certain level. Amen. In order to get God's approval or to get God, amen, to fulfill of what he has spoken. Amen. So we know that when Isaac was born, amen, Isaac was the son born to Abraham and Sarah. When he was born, Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was somewhere around 90 or 91. Amen. And the Bible tells us, you can see this in chapter 21. Amen. That when Isaac was born, Sarah said, who would have said to Abraham that I would nurse children? Who would have said, amen, that I would have a child at my old age, at 90 years old, that I would be able to nurse a child? Amen. Hallelujah. And you see, the Bible tells us, amen, that God will do things in ways that we don't expect him to do them. Amen. Hallelujah. So she said, who would have thought? See, only God would set up, amen, a plan like that. Only God would be able to say that 90-year-old Sarah would be able, amen, not only to conceive, which was inconceivable, if I can say it like that, hallelujah, but to carry a child for 9 months, for 40 weeks, and then her body, amen, to fulfill and complete all that's needed, her hormones and everything to work in balance, that she would have the nutrition and the milk to provide, amen, to nurse a baby. Only God, amen, would say it like that. See, Abraham was 75, amen, when God spoke to him and said, you're going to have a son. Amen. Praise God. And 25 years later, amen, praise God, God fulfilled it. If you're still waiting on the Lord, wait, I say wait. Wait upon the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Amen. How many knows that God is faithful tonight? Amen. But we have to remember, amen, that in that 25 years, praise God, that about 12 years into the 25, amen, it wasn't happening. Amen, it wasn't taking place. And surely Sarah's mind was like, okay, I'm up there now, and things are just, I don't know about that. 65 now, I'm 77, and it's not happening. I just don't see that God's going to do it. Amen. So she, amen, the Bible says, gave her handmaiden, amen, the bondservant, unto Abraham. And so Abraham, 13 years into, amen, the promise in waiting, Abraham, amen, had a son, amen, whose name was Ishmael, with that bondwoman, Sarah's handmaiden. Her name was Hagar. Amen. And so this was 13 years before Isaac was born. Amen. Praise God. And you see, the Bible tells us, amen, that she weaned Isaac. Amen. And she got him to the proper stage. And then the Bible says, amen, Sarah saw, amen, Ishmael making fun of Isaac. And this caused her great distress. Amen. She didn't like it that he was making fun, amen, of Isaac. We don't really know why. Maybe because his mom was so old. I don't know. Who knows what he was doing? Maybe it was something innocent. Amen. But nonetheless, it got, amen, Sarah upset. Praise God. And she told Abraham, I want you to throw Hagar and Ishmael out of the house. I want you to throw them out of the house. But the Bible says that Abraham became distressed. Amen. This was Abraham's son. No doubt he loved Ishmael. He had 13 years. Ishmael was now getting to the age of what would later become the age of accountability, where they could become, amen, a man, if you will. And so he loved Ishmael. And the Bible says that this caused Abraham great distress. But God came to Abraham. Aren't you glad that when you trust the Lord and you put your faith in him and you believe his word, that when he comes to speak to you, you don't have to doubt? Amen. That it's God. See, Abraham knew the voice of God. Amen. He knew, especially when he saw Amen. The birth of Isaac, that God, amen, would keep his word. God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, don't be distressed. I want you to listen to what Sarah is saying. So God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, don't be worried. Don't be distressed because I want you to listen to what your wife is saying. I want you to listen to her because God told him that it would be his descendants through Isaac that would be counted. See, I wanna be and do where it's gonna count. Amen. Are you with me? I want everything that I do. See, our works don't get us a place with God, but our works are the fruit of our faith. So if we believe, amen, and we trust in God, and we believe in what his word says, then we're going to have proof of that by living it out in our works. Amen. So I want all that I do, amen, to be counted. I don't want to waste my mind and my thoughts and my time and my efforts on doing something that is in vain. You know, we can do spiritual things and they can still be in vain because our heart is missing, amen, the correct posture. Listen, when we are trying to make things happen within our own flesh, we are taking the posture of God. We are saying that we know what is best, amen. And so God told him, he said, Abraham, it'll be the descendants that come from Isaac that are going to be counted. Remember, he told him before when he made the promise, he said, out of that seed, amen, will come, amen, the descendants, amen, the like the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. Look up. Can you count the stars? No, that's how many descendants are going to come from you, Abraham. I may not be a direct descendant of Abraham, but I thank God that I've been grafted in. Amen to Abraham's covenant with God. Are you glad tonight? Amen for that covenant. And so, amen, here's what you got to understand. If we look at this spiritually, and we must, amen, God gives us these things in the Word to apply to our lives spiritually. When we look at this spiritually, Ishmael was a son of the flesh. Amen. He was a son. Amen. Of his flesh because, amen, he acted on the word of Sarah and not the word of God. Come on, somebody. Do you understand that? This son was the son of flesh. But God told Abraham, he said, I will make a nation of him because he is your seed. So he won't be counted, amen, as the descendants from me, but I will make him a nation because he is your seed. And so we got to understand that tonight. Amen. That goes right back. Hallelujah. And makes us understand that there would be no peaceful coexistence. There would be no peace in Ishmael and Isaac trying to coexist together. Amen. I'm not going to get into, amen, where we see, amen, the descendants of Ishmael today. You see them in Islam and in the Muslims. Amen. That's why there's such a fight. Amen. That the Muslims and the Christians both claim Abraham as father. Amen. Praise God. But they believe that because they were first to come from Ishmael, amen, that they belong, amen, praise God, to the covenant. But understand tonight, hallelujah, that there cannot be any peaceful coexistence. Eventually, there's going to come conflict. Why? Because the flesh and the spirit cannot dwell together. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. See, law and grace can't live together. Amen. There's a battle between trusting in the flesh and trusting in the Holy Spirit. There's a battle tonight. That's why the war goes on inside of us. That's why Paul teaches us to yield our flesh. flesh unto the spirit. That's why Paul teaches us to crucify the flesh, amen, so that the spirit, amen, can be in control. See, law and grace cannot coexist. Hallelujah. They're trying to get peace over in Israel. It's never going to happen. They're never going to be able to coexist because both of them feel like, amen, that the land belongs to them. And the truth declares it does belong to one of them, and that is Israel, the seed and descendants of Abraham. So even though they sign a peace treaty, even though they would sign off and declare, I'm here to tell you that when you give the flesh equal rights to the spirit, amen, there's going to be a conflict. That's why the Bible tells us when the tribulation is in full force, amen, that they will cry, peace, peace, but there will be sudden destruction. I saw this week where our government, amen, is calling peace, amen, between the war in Gaza. I promise you, amen, that it's not going to last. And the Bible says, amen, when the Antichrist comes into full swing, that peace will be, but then all of a sudden it will shift. Hallelujah. I'm thankful tonight for the Spirit of the Lord. I'm thankful tonight, amen, that I'm not saved by the law, but the law was fulfilled by the work of Jesus. And now because of the Holy Spirit living in me, I can walk out the law, and I'm not bound under the law, but I'm free through grace. Come on, somebody. I'm the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. The law and the flesh, law and grace cannot coexist. It just is not going to happen. They can't live together. There is a battle. So Hagar was a bond woman. She was purchased. She was owned. She was a bond slave. She was a bond woman. Sarah was a free woman because she was a natural born Jew.
Right.
And so Ishmael was born to the woman who was bound, if I can say it like that, or the flesh. Isaac was born to the woman who is free, or the spirit, if I can say it like that. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? Hallelujah. So it was going to have to happen. Amen. Praise God. And so the Bible tells us, amen, that listening to God, Abraham gave, amen, Hagar bread, amen, and a skin, or a like a wine skin, amen, or a flask, if you will, amen, probably made of animal leather, amen. He gave her a skin of water and bread, and he put it on her shoulder, and he sent her and Ishmael away, amen. Praise God. Now listen, I was thinking today that Abraham was wealthy. This is why they had a bondwoman. Abraham was what we would consider wealthy, or what was considered wealthy in that time. And Abraham could have afforded to give her more than some bread and a flask of water. He could have sent her away with animals, with cattle. He could have sent her away, amen, with much more than a flask of water, amen, and a little bit of bread. I'm guessing probably a loaf, if I can see it like that, amen. He could have afforded to give her more, amen. But you see, he knew without God's help that they wouldn't be all right, amen. So it didn't matter how much he gave them, it still wouldn't be enough. But he knew if God said, send them out. Come on, somebody, are you with me? Are you understanding that tonight? Does that make sense? Amen. He knew that if God didn't take care of them, they weren't going to be taken care of anyway. Amen. Praise God. Because no matter what he gave him, they would eventually run out of it. It would not have been enough because, amen, eventually would have run out. And see, that's how it is with our ways and our thoughts. Amen. And our efforts. Praise God. Eventually they come to an end. But aren't you glad tonight that we serve El Shaddai? We serve a God who is more than enough. Amen. Hallelujah. If he sends you to it, he's going to take you through it. Amen. If he tells you to go, he's going to provide from beginning to end. Come on, somebody. Are you understanding? You might have to wait 25 years for some fulfillment, but he will take care of his people. He knew by faith that God would see to it that they were taken care of. That's why he could send them out. I believe he loved Ishmael. I believe that he loved him. So this would not have been an easy thing to do.
Right.
He knows that sometimes it's hard to trust God when it seems that what he's asking us to do looks like it could have a negative outcome. Because he could have thought, what are they going to do when they run out? What if they don't have enough? This is probably not good. What's this going to look like? Sometimes God has us trust him for things, and it looks like, amen, that where it's going and what he's doing is not going to be the best outcome, and no better words than a negative outcome, and it's hard to trust whenever we can't see or it doesn't make sense. So this had to bring fear and anxiety into the mind and heart of Hagar. Hagar had to be, first of all, she didn't have time to be angry. I'm sure she was angry when Abraham came and said, you need to go. I need you and Ishmael to get out of the house. Wow, imagine that. So I'm sure she was angry or feeling angry, but she didn't have time to get angry because she had to think about, what am I going to do?
What is it that's going to happen?
What am I going to do? Can I go back to Egypt? The Bible tells us that she was from Egypt. Can I go back to Egypt? If I do, is there anybody who's going to take care of my son? They won't be their father. And so are they going to take care of them? Who's going to take care of me and my son? I'm a bondservant. I'm just a slave. What am I going to do? How am I going to provide for my son? I can imagine all of the thoughts and the things going through Hagar's mind. Who would accept him? Who would look at him and not look down on him or judge him? How would I explain his father putting us out of the house? A lot to think about there. A lot to contemplate for Hagar. The Bible says that they had wandered into the wilderness, specifically the wilderness of Beersheba. Amen. So they had wandered into the wilderness. And of course, the water ran out. And the water skin was dry. What do you do when you've been led and sent into the wilderness? We preached on the wilderness a couple of weeks ago. What do you do when you're sent into the wilderness and the water skin runs dry? When you're out of water, seemingly out of resources. And so as any mother would do, interesting, the Bible doesn't say anything about the bread, but how many knows that we could last a lot longer without food than we can without water. Lack of water will cause dehydration. Dehydration will cause your body to shut down. It can kill you. It can wreak havoc on your physical body. And so she knew she wasn't worried about the bread. She was worried about the water. But I'm sure that the bread had at least run low, if not run out. But now the water skin was dry. Think as she gave Ishmael the last drink of water, knowing that it was the last drink in the water skin. Imagine what she had been thinking three, four, 5 days prior to where they would drink. Now, I believe because of her response and because of her being a mother, I believe that she could have probably would have denied herself already of the water. But think about 3, 4, 5 days prior to this day when the water ran out, when the water skin was dry, looking in there, getting Ishmael a drink, knowing that it was almost gone. It's hard when you're in a place and you have been sent into a wilderness, a dry place, a barren place, a place where the fields are not tilled and they're not plowed, and you don't see any signs of harvest. You don't see any signs of growth, no signs of survival. And you know that your resources are running out. This is where Hagar was at. And the Bible says that she put Ishmael under the shade of one of the shrubs. She put him out of the sunlight. So she found a shrub. Not a whole lot of shrubs in the wilderness. The wilderness is simply the desert. Not a whole lot of shrubs, and if they are, they're not very leafy. There are certain types of plants that grow in the desert and in the wilderness. But so she found a shrub, and she placed him under the shade of the shrub. The Bible says that she sat across from Ishmael at the distance of a bow shot. That would have been about a half a mile. That was what a bow shot was, to get a good aim and a good shoot, and to be a decent archer, a half a mile out from your target. So she was about a half a mile out from him, and she sat across from Ishmael. And the Bible says that she said, "I can't bear to watch my son die." She had ran out of resources. She had ran out of water. The water skin was dry. She said, "I can't bear to watch him die." And the Bible says she turned her head and looked the other way. And she began crying and weeping. She was crying and she was weeping. Now, I don't believe this was just some little... She was crying out. She was weeping because she had already made up her mind that Ishmael was going to die. Amen. I personally don't believe that she was praying, so to speak. Amen. But she was weeping and she was crying because her son was going to die. But the Bible says, amen, that God heard the voice of Ishmael. Now, is Ishmael praying? My opinion, and it don't hold any value at all. It holds no weight, bears no weight on the context. Amen. But I don't believe that Ishmael is praying. I believe that I'm guessing in my mind that he was crying out to his mom. The Bible didn't say that God heard their prayer. Or heard his prayer, said, "I heard the voice of Ishmael." And I believe, amen, that even with a half a mile's distance, that Ishmael heard, amen, Hagar weeping, and he heard her crying. And I believe that he was crying out to his mom, maybe asking his mom, "Where are you, mom? Why have you left me here? What's going on? What's happening? Mom, what's happening? What's wrong?" I believe that he was crying out, amen, to his mom, maybe asking again why she left him over here? Or was he crying because he could hear her? Was Ishmael crying out because he could hear his mom crying? And maybe he knew, amen, in his mind that he was going to die, that it was probably finished. I don't know. Amen. Praise God. But the Bible tells us, amen, praise the Lord, that he was crying out some way, and God heard his voice. Amen. But God's word was over the life of Ishmael and not over Hagar. God's word was not over Hagar, but his word was over Ishmael. And that's why God heard Ishmael's voice, because there was a promise over Ishmael that God was going to make him a nation. He had promised Abraham, I will make a nation out of him because he is your seed. It won't be the ones that are counted, but I'll make a nation out of him. Amen. And God's word was over his life. Amen. So God heard. I want somebody to know tonight, amen, that even though we are in the wilderness, and even though we are in the place that we are, and God may have sent you into the wilderness, your promise is crying out on your behalf. The word of God over your life, the word that God has spoken over your life is crying out. Are you hearing me? It may look like that there's going to be an end, that it's not going to happen. Amen. Praise God. But I want you to understand, amen, that the angel of God come from heaven. He didn't come down. He is called Hagar from heaven. And he said, what's wrong with you, Hagar? What is wrong? He said, don't be afraid, because God has heard the voice of your son where he is. God has heard his voice where he is. Hallelujah, praise God. He said, get up, lift up the boy, hold him tightly in your hand, because I'm going to make him a great nation. Hallelujah. Can I say right there, to those of you that are praying for your children, those of you that are holding, amen, fast, praise God, for your loved ones, I believe that God wants you to know tonight that the Lord hears their voice from where they are. God has given you a promise. They're your seed. Come on, somebody. They belong to you. And the Bible tells us, hallelujah, that if we're faithful, that he will save our household. Amen. So if they're your seed and they belong to you, I've been holding on to that this week in my prayer closet. Hallelujah. If they're your seed, then God hears them where they are. I thought about all the voices of the babies and the children who are being abused. Amen. And the babies that have been aborted and have been struck out of this life before they ever had a chance to breathe their first breath. God hears the voice of the children. God heard the voice of Ishmael, and he said, Hagar, if I can put it in hillbilly terms, get up. You're crying for nothing. Go get a hold of him and raise him up. Hallelujah. You get up. Raise him up. He said, grab hold of his hand tightly. I want to encourage somebody tonight to grab hold of every word that God has spoken into your life. I'm not talking about words that others have spoken. I'm talking about words that God, unequivocally, you know it was God. Hold tight unto them. Rise up even in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And don't let go of them, because God's going to bring it to pass. He has to. And if he comes before he brings it to pass, at least you're going to die holding tightly by faith to everything that you know he has spoken. Aren't you glad tonight that we serve a God who is faithful? Come on, somebody. He didn't save us to be bound. He didn't save us to be burdened all the time. He didn't save us to be depressed, repressed, isolated, rejected, depressed, but he saved us. Hallelujah, that we can take, amen, the whole purpose that he has placed over our lives. we can walk in that fullness. Here's where I want to go tonight. Here's where the Lord ministered to me. He told her, don't be afraid. Get up. Lift up the boy. Hold him tightly in your hand. Because I will make a nation out of him. I'm going to make him a great nation. Imagine the relief. And the Bible says, then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. God opened her eyes. See, Hagar had given up and was in so much distress after the water went out. Listen, she was in the wilderness. She was in the desert. Wells are not in abundance in the desert. Amen? They're not in abundance. But when God opened her eyes, when he spoke that word to her. Now remember, she's an Egyptian. She's not a Jew. And I believe that in all those years living with Abraham and Sarah, she saw Abraham worship. She saw them honor God. She heard them speak of God. But I don't believe that she necessarily worshiped God or served him in the way that they did. But when he spoke to her and he gave her the word that he would make him a nation, she realized that God was not against Ishmael. In her heart, she felt like Ishmael had been rejected, that they had been sent out there to die, that there was no other destiny for Ishmael other than death. When she realized and got this word, realized that God was not against him, she saw a well of water. Now, I personally believe that the well was there all the time. There are some theologians that believe that God put the well there at that instant. I don't see it that way in the context that it's written. I believe that that well was already there. But here's why Hagar didn't see it until her eyes were opened by the word of God, because she was not looking for it. She did not expect there to be a well in the wilderness. She did not expect there to be water in the wilderness. So therefore, she was not looking for the well. But when she got a fresh word from God, and she realized, amen, hallelujah, that God wasn't there. See, she didn't expect it to be where she was. And she was so overwrought with grief and distress and fear, hallelujah, that she couldn't see it. Her vision was blurred by the battle and the trouble and the turmoil and what she thought in her flesh was going to be the end. But you see, God had a word because he had promised Abraham. God had something in the spirit. Are you with me tonight? I hope you're following me. Amen. Praise God. And she didn't look for that well. Amen. But listen, and so many times when we are in the wilderness, again, sent by God, right? A lot of times, most of the time that we end up in the wilderness, it's God that puts us there. Remember, we preached again a couple of weeks ago when John baptized at Jesus, and as soon as he came out, the Spirit took him into the wilderness. It was the Spirit that took him there. So all of the things and the spiritual warfare, amen, and the wilderness experience that we've been having, amen, praise God, is ordained of God. And when we see it, that is God's will, we can endure, amen, and we can make sure, amen, that he gets glory out of that. Praise God. But sometimes times when we're there, we can, our vision can get blurred by the circumstances, amen, amen, and the details of the situation, and the battle can become so intense. Can I get a witness? We preached on Sunday morning about 2024, amen, praise God, and about being pruned, amen, praise God, and Jesus said, give it one more year, and let me dig a little deeper, and let me put some fertilizer on it, let me put some dung on it, and give it a year and see, amen, if it will bear fruit. I'm thankful for the dung tonight, right? Hallelujah, because that dung in the Hebrew, that word means a chopping, amen, it means a throwing on, amen, it means, praise God, everything that has been thrown on you, praise God, God is using that, amen, to prune you and take off the things that you don't need, amen, so that you can bear better fruit than you ever have in your walk with God, amen. But we can get so overwrought that our vision can become blurred, amen, and we don't even look for provision, we don't even look for water, we run out of all that we have, and we feel like we can't pray effectively, we feel like fasting is not prosperous, amen. We feel like that we're, when we lift our hands to worship, it may feel like that we're doing it in vain because we seemingly aren't getting the response that we're used to, amen. And so our vision can get blurred, and so we can begin to, amen, weep and cry and think that, you know what, this is just how it's going to end, this is how it's going to be. But I come tonight to tell somebody, amen, that there is a well. And when God spoke a fresh word over Hagar's mind, amen, he opened her eyes, her vision came, and she looked and saw a well, amen. So the well was there, she just wasn't looking for it, amen. Don't let the enemy get you so blinded, amen, by what you see and what you feel and what you hear and even what you smell, amen, that you forget, hallelujah, that God would never take you in the wilderness and leave you. You say, oh, just want to hide under a shrub and get a little bit of shade. You don't even have to hide under a shrub. Why? Because we dwell in the cleft of the rock. We hide under the shadow of his wings tonight. And as we walk through the valley, hallelujah, and death is all around us, and those wild animals are lurking over the crags and the cliffs as we're walking through the desert, and the shadow, amen, brings out the cliff, brings darkness. We don't have to fear. Why? Because the Good Shepherd is with us. Hallelujah. And if we get off, amen, his rod and his staff bring us comfort. I come tonight to tell somebody, don't you give up yet, because there is a well. There is a well. It may look like the waters run dry, but Jesus said, I am that living water. He that drinks of me shall never thirst again. That's why you got to know that when you're in the wilderness, whose you are and who he is. If he is who he says he is, and you believe that, then you believe that you will not thirst. He will not let you go without providing, amen, a refuge, even in the wilderness. To think of today, somebody had to dig that well before she needed it. Somebody had to take the time to dig a well. Now, it would take faith to dig a well in the wilderness. Come on. And maybe the first time, first attempt, first thought that's picked, there's no water. Maybe have to move several times before they find a place in the ground and the level where there's good water. Make it open it up and make a well. So somebody had to dig that well before she needed it. Somebody had to put in the work and the effort. at a time in faith and endure the heat and the sun and the climate and the environment. Because in the wilderness, there's not lush trees. And at night, it can get cold in the desert. So cold at night, hot in the afternoon. Not a lot of places to find shade. And if you do, they're not real full and leafy. So somebody had to take the time endure to dig that well. And the Lord spoke to me today as I thought about that. That when we're in the wilderness, the prayers, the fasting, the sacrifices of obedience that we have done before, when we've showed up for him faithfully, we've stood and we've prayed, and none of us are perfect. You get what I mean. Our heart posture is in the right place. Our spirit is yielded to him. He spoke that when we're in the wilderness, that all of those prayers and fasting and sacrifices of obedience that we've done before, that digs a well for us to drink when we're in the wilderness. All the times that you've showed up and you've dug and you've prayed and you've endured the conflict, you've endured the environment, you've endured the heat and the battle and the cold, and you've moved and changed places and dug and dug and dug again and prayed again and fasted. Amen, amen. Out of obedience to God, honoring him, amen. Bringing yourself in subjection to him, and you show up, amen. And you praise him through all things, amen. And no matter how it feels, you praise him, and your life exudes worship because you are obedient and God is first. God said those are, amen, that's what digs the well. Amen, that brings the supply of water. That when you're in the wilderness and the wineskin runs dry, just look because there is a well. Just look because, amen, the digging that's been done before. Hallelujah. Amen. All that you've done before is providing a well in the wilderness. Amen. Praise God. And we've got to be careful because when we allow the flesh to overtake our vision, then we miss the provision in the wilderness. Amen. So our provision depends on our vision. Amen. So if we have vision, then we will have provision. Are you with me? Amen. Praise God. It's not that it's not there. It's just that you can't see it. Amen. Why can't you see it? Because you allow the flesh to override. Amen. Your vision, and praise God, and you quit looking for it. Amen. How many times you get weary, amen, and you just stop expecting God to move. I've been there, amen, in the last 18, 19 months where you're like, you know what? This just must be the way it's going to be. This must be, amen, the way that God has said it. Praise the Lord. But I'm thankful tonight, hallelujah, that the vine dresser never gave up on me. I'm thankful to night that when they said cut it down, others said cut it down, he said don't cut it down, give it another year, give it more time. Come on somebody, I'm thankful tonight, hallelujah, amen, that every step, every effort, amen, that you make in faith and in the right spirit, amen, walking humbly before God, is digging a well. Every time you step in obedience, every time you show up, when your flesh don't feel like it, when you pray, when you don't feel like it, when you fast, when you physically, amen, are weak and struggling, but you continue, amen, we're in our 21 days of consecration and fasting, hallelujah, it's not easy, amen, are you with me, hallelujah, the struggle can be hard, but you press through, and you push through, amen, it's not your work, amen, it's not your fasting that does it. It's your obedience and your willingness, amen, to yield yourself. And so every time you do that, it's digging a little deeper. It's going deeper and deeper, amen, digging that well. So that when you get in the wilderness and you feel like everything is run dry and there's not another drop to drink, and you look in the wineskin and it's evident, amen, that there's only one more drink. Hallelujah. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap what you sow if you faint not. Hallelujah. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to faint and to set your promise, amen, over somewhere to die. But know that there is a well. There's a well in the desert. There's a well in the wilderness. And every step you take, every time you are obedient, it digs the well a little deeper.
Amen.
Remember, more often than not, the wilderness is the will of God. So why would he send us there and not sustain us? Why do we get to the wilderness and then get afraid and start losing our trust in what God is doing? He wants somebody to know tonight there is a well. Some of you in here have been striving and struggling for years, for decades. And it feels like, ooh, I feel that tonight. And it feels like that this is just how it is. But let me remind you that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when God brought the promise to pass. So it doesn't matter, amen, the time or the age, God will do it if you will trust him. Amen, and believe him in the wilderness. Come on, that's a good place for everybody to clap, not just two or three. Verse 20 tells us that God was with Ishmael, and he grew. And interestingly enough, he dwelt in the desert, in the wilderness. It wasn't Beersheba, I believe. It was the wilderness of Paran. I believe, yes, he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And he became an archer. He shot the bow. I thought about that as his mom stood a bow shot from him when he was, she thought he was dying, and he became an archer. There might be a message in that, I don't know. But I thought about that connection. Amen. The Bible said he became an archer. And the Bible says Hagar chose him a wife in Egypt. And of course we know that Ishmael multiplied and increased, and now there is a nation out of Ishmael. There's enmity against God, because again, the flesh and the spirit cannot coexist. They can't dwell together. There's going to be a battle. And God knew that. So God is wanting us to be reminded tonight as they get ready to come to the music, to not let our vision of who God is become dimmed. Not to let our vision. See, the Bible says, without vision, my people perish. You know, we think vision as in future, and vision as in what, where we see ourselves in the future. But vision is vision. And when our vision becomes dimmed by the circumstances and the fear and the turmoil and the what ifs and the I don't knows, and the buts, and the whys, and the hows, and we become, our vision becomes clouded. That's when we stop looking for the well. That's when we stop looking. When the water runs dry, God wants you to know tonight there is a well. It's when God opened her eyes, she saw the well. That spoke to me so strongly this week. That when God opened her eyes, she saw the well. It was there all along. Now, I don't know how far she had to go to see the well. I don't know where she went. If she looked up and saw it there, I don't know. But it was there. Not a second today. Maybe she had to turn her head and look back to her promise. Maybe she had to turn her head. She had turned her head away, looking away from Ishmael because she said she couldn't watch him die. But maybe she had to turn her head back towards Ishmael. And maybe the well was near her promise. But it was not until she got a fresh word from God that her vision became clearer and God opened her eyes and she saw the well. There is a well. Same with me all across this place tonight.